We don't believe in sin. We don't believe in the devil. We don't believe that there's such a place like hell.
I don't know what you mean by objective truth.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
I think the standard needs to be more Bible-based rather than exclusively Christ-based.
Take Jesus out of Scripture, and what a higgledy-piggledy sort of book that is.
I'm a Christian. I pray to Jesus Christ our Savior, and I've been doing it for many, many years.
Well, there are people who take this commandment, you shall not kill, in the strictest sense, that is, it applies across the board to all taking of life, innocent or otherwise. And then there are others who say, no, it really is only about murder. There are some who would see this commandment, you shall not kill, and see no connection whatsoever between this commandment of God and, for instance, taking the life of an unborn child in the womb. So how are we to rightly understand, you shall not kill? Jesus even talks about it. We'll get to some of what Jesus has to say about the commandment, you shall not kill, with our pastor's roundtable live this Thursday, October the 9th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You're listening to Issues Etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours, not only during our pastor's roundtable, but also in the next hour of the program as well. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I said it was October 9th. I am a week behind. It's actually October 16th. I should know that because yesterday was payday. So I have no excuse for that whatsoever. Thursday, October the 16th, 1-877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Our pastor's roundtable includes three pastors, two of them here in studio and one on the phone. We'll introduce them in just a moment. After our pastor's roundtable, in hour two of the program, Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us. We have two issues to discuss with her. First of all, last night's presidential debate. How did it go? We'll also want to hear from you, and we'll talk about the media coverage of the campaign rallies. They're saying that there are people on the fringe, the left and the right, at these campaign rallies that are making the candidates look bad. Dr. Carl Fikencher will join us to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity in the last 40 minutes of Issues Etc. today. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Joining us for our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Nathan Metter. He's driven over from Staunton, Illinois, which is actually not that very far. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church there in Staunton. Thank you, and thanks for coming in.
Glad to.
Next to him here in studio, Pastor David Boyce Clare is pastor of Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis. Pastor, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me this afternoon.
And on the phone from Emmaus Lutheran Church, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan, Pastor Joel Baisley. Joel, good to talk to you again.
Also on the road to Emmaus, I hope you all are well. Good to hear from you all today.
Pastor Metter, first to you, there are those who would look at this commandment and say this simply forbids, in a completely blanket way, the taking of human life under any and every circumstance, innocent or otherwise. How would you respond?
Well, you can almost see if you simply lift this word completely out of context, and just leave it at that. But again, I would be willing to bet that those who are willing to make that same move are doing so from an agenda. We were talking about earlier, using the PETA issue. You know, I can't have my hamburger on the way home today because that's life. I think too, we tend to dance with this a little. And again, it's all driven underlying. Although if you look at it, you know, very clear, you shall not murder. But you need to understand, you know, the specifics of that word. And I am not as scholarly with the Hebrew as others, I know there's a distinction there. And I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden. I thought of this wonderful thing to say, and I'm just completely struck out.
Don't worry, it'll come back to you again.
Well, a lot of times it's the way it's translated. Notice that from any time in the English tradition, translating it as thou shalt not kill, just within the last 20 years, we've made the distinction by translating the commandment, you will not murder, or you shall not murder. which fine tunes it a little bit more from the, if you have it this kind of a vague idea of kill, then you have all of these other ideas coming in. Although, you know, that's kind of along with the agendas that people have in this.
Pastor Baisley, Luther in his Small Catechism talks quite a bit about this fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And he seems to understand a distinction between taking life in one circumstance and taking life in another. How does he deal with that?
Well, he certainly, the wonderful thing about the prohibition to murder is the sacred origin of life, and that God is the author and giver of the life, and therefore there should be a hedge that preserves not only our life but the life of our neighbor, because it's sacred. And the issue of authority is important. If God is the one who is the author and the authority of life, then he retains that for himself. But the problem with a complete abrogation of the taking of a life is that it wouldn't honor God's authority to take life as the one who gives it. And, any sin before God bears with it the penalty of death. The wages of sin is death. So in society, God has, in his wisdom, given us sort of the hedge to know that there is someone that we have to report to, and that crime and death go together, and therefore both in Israel and the ancient times, God gave the authority to take life if life was taken. After the flood in, I believe it's Genesis 9, God says that capital punishment would be a possibility at that time. So also in Jesus' day, it's actually the government's authority to take life that occasions Jesus being our Savior as his life was taken on the cross. So the authority to take life is certainly one that God retains and that God also gives to society and government.
Pastor Metter, what Pastor Baisley was saying there puts me in mind of St. Paul, mm-hmm. especially in Romans chapter 13, when he says this governing authority, I think is a term he uses,
right.
This minister of God does not bear the sword in vain. Is he talking about physical punishment up to and including taking your life if you deserve it?
Absolutely. He is the executor of God's wrath. You know, and again, we talk about the government in the sense deriving, again, to the previous commandment, the fourth commandment, the authority. When I teach my confirmation kids, we deal with this. The root is the family, mom and dad. Their job is to serve and protect. The authority that comes out of that, the governmental authority to serve and protect, and the way that government can, and in the state that we're living in here in Illinois, they have chosen to say that in certain cases, despite a moratorium, that there are you can transgress the law to the point where, in order to serve and protect the rest of society, that we, the government, as a minister of God's wrath, can take the life of a criminal. Then you get into all kinds of debates, whether it's a deterrent or whatever. Well, it is for that one. And the government can do that under God's authority.
Pastor Baisley, has God, let me see how I want to phrase this. While we've made the case here that God permits government to exercise his authority, his sole authority to take life justly, mm-hmm. has God commanded governments to take life? In other words, is capital punishment commanded by God of all governing authorities?
No, there's no mm-hmm. explicit command except, as I said, the only time that God created that theocracy where he did a casuistry where he said, if a person does this, then you must also take his life, was in his own government there in the Old Testament. As far as the New Testament governments, although he affirms the sacredness of life, and every society has penalties for those that take a life, there's no requirement or command of God to all governments that they must do that.
Pastor Boyce-Claire, is it a blanket permission that, let's say, for instance, when the Nazis took the lives of their prisoners, the Jews or prisoners of war in their camps, that they could be claiming to act on God's behalf? About a minute before our break.
They certainly used that argument, and they said that they had to follow the higher authority, but still, just be our relationship with God as individuals too makes us responsible to carry out His justice in a manner that is according to His will.
So we're talking about justly administered.
Right. They could. Yes, we are to follow the command, but then you also have that situation where, while they are governing authorities, they're also sinful authorities, and they too can cross over the line. Again, not to say that it's a blanket permission to kill. I'm the authority, therefore I can take any life I want. No, that's clear that God isn't intending that.
Naboth is an example with Jezebel and Naboth.
Okay, let's talk about that on the other side of the break. It's our Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday, the 16th of October. In our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor Joel Basely, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan, Pastor Nathan Medder, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois, and Pastor David Boyce Clare, pastor of Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis. You can join us. We're coming to you live this Thursday, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Anybody who calls or sends us an email in this hour will receive a free pamphlet called What About the Ten Commandments? Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are 618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Peter Amaral, Richard Mangold, Douglas Johnson, Greg Milford, Brad Fisher, Joseph Gravett, Susan Hoffman, Jesse Cole, Michelle Rader, and Patricia Ziskowski. Thanks for your support.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly, issuesetc.org.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We're going to be talking with her about children and worship, and children in worship, which is becoming a rarer and rarer thing for some reason. We'll also discuss abortion. Is it just another political issue? Dr. James Lamb will be our guest tomorrow on the program. We're talking about the commandment, you shall not kill. I know you have questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE or talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Boyce Clare, you mentioned Naboth and Jezebel as a good example of how we ought to sort out the whole justice issue when it comes to, I think, capital punishment, the taking of life.
Yes, because in that particular case, there's a whole cluster of sins that goes on there. There's false witness. First, there's the coveting, because King Ahab sinfully desired Naboth's vineyard, which is right by his capital of Samaria. And Jezebel said, "Hey, we can get this for you. You know, don't be downcast." And so she gets two. It has to be two witnesses for any capital crime in the Old Testament to claim that he blasphemed God and the king. So they bore false witness, and Naboth was then put to death. And after Ahab took possession of the vineyard, then of course the prophet Elijah confronted him. But this is a case where there is judicial, what we would call judicial murder, in this particular case. Okay. And so that provides kind of an idea, like with the Nazis, how they overstepped the line and they committed genocide and other crimes against humanity.
Let's talk a little bit about war. Mm-hmm. And I think related to war, probably law enforcement, although let's keep the distinction between the two, but we've got people who are carrying around firepower on our behalf. How does a soldier deal with "you shall not kill" when he is told by his commander, "get out there and kill"? That question for you, Pastor Baisley.
Yes, as we've indicated in the Romans 13, we've already talked about God's using the government as holding the sword, and a just war would recognize in situations like in World War II, where there was evil and tyranny going on, that nations being good neighbors to their nations don't allow that kind of activity. And when there's manifest evil within a government that is using force and army against the principles that are right and good in society, then it is not only the government's right, but the responsibility to curb that. And that's what the soldier is. He's the instrument holding God's bayonet or his gun in order to oppose evil that comes into the world. And it's sort of a scary world these days with the political campaigns and all the hot spots in the earth. It's a difficult issue, but a necessary one, because unchecked evil is unchecked. All it takes for evil to proliferate, as someone said, is for good men to do nothing.
Didn't Luther preach a sermon or write a letter called "Can a Soldier Too Also Be Saved"? Pastor Baisley.
Oh yes, and the point that Luther makes is that a soldier is a legitimate vocation, which means when the government calls a young man, or in these days a young woman, into the military forces, that it's actually God calling him, and so he is acting as an instrument in God's hand to do that. So it's not only not wrong for him to bear arms and to kill as a soldier, but it's also God's will that he do it.
I currently have a vicar who served 6 years in the United States Marines, and in fact we had this discussion today, and it was amazing to see. He had a conversation with Jack Preuss about this when he was in Iraq the first time, and they discussed this very thing. And they were being encouraged. Lutheran chaplains are encouraging their men, the soldiers over there, "Hey, when you are being the best soldier you can be, you are just as much a servant of the Lord as any one of the vocations that we would have here in the country. You know, back in the country where we were butcher, baker, or pastor or whatever." And they were very encouraged by that. You know, now it doesn't mean that they're not. It doesn't mean at times they struggle with that, you know, when it's me or the other guy in combat, you know, and that was something that they struggled with, but they dealt with it in the fact that when they're doing their duty in a just situation, they were serving their neighbor both in country and back home.
And sometimes the government sort of assists in the right function of soldiers that do the right thing by we don't call our Department of Defense now. It used to be called the Department of War. Now it's called the Department of Defense. You also have them talking about being peacekeepers or providing or securing the peace. In other words, it's war for the sake of bringing peace and order in the world. That kind of so in a sense, in common and political thinking of this day and age, there seems to be more of a promotion of the proper way to be a soldier.
Let's deal with one more thing, and then I want to get to kind of the omission side mm-hmm. of this commandment, and that is abortion. We have to deal with abortion right. and all the other life issues. Pastor Baisley, you had pointed out that the heart of this commandment is that God is the creator, the giver, the sustainer, and the source of life. So what does this, if we deal with the commandment, you shall not kill, in those terms, what does it say about abortion?
Oh, it's just one of the saddest circumstances that we live in our society. I was with a woman the other yesterday. She's one of our shut-ins that had worked as a nurse back in the 70s and was saying how women would come into the clinic there and the doctor there didn't perform abortions, but that they would go off to a clinic somewhere to have them, and the women would sometimes talk to her and ask for advice. And she said when they had those abortions, that those girls that went off for the abortions were never the same again. So it's the saddest thing. You know, in the early part of the 20th century in the medical books, I have it to understand that the womb where the child was being formed by God used to be called the sanctuary, even in medical school, attributing that place as a secret place where God was protecting the unborn. And now we've sort of turned our backs on that whole thing in the interest of rights and self-interest and you know, what's easiest, and it's the saddest thing. God must weep over the situation in our nation in that.
Pastor Bender, okay, you're a guy, so you've had no abortions.
Correct.
You haven't carried out any executions that I know of. You haven't served on the field of battle where you might have wrongly taken a life. And as far as I know, at least in the eyes of the governing authorities, you're not guilty of any other kinds of murder. So
well,
does
good.
That mean
you haven't done my background check? That's good.
We should have before we let you
yes.
in the bunker. But Jeff has kind of been busy lately. He's been falling down on his job of screening the people before they come in. But it sounds like, if I take you as an example, you haven't broken the Fifth Commandment. Is that true?
Oh, if only it were, because. And like anything else, when you're dealing with any one of these commandments, when we simply look at them in such a cursory surface level, it really does breed self-righteousness. It's very easy for me to say, chief of sinners though I be, so-and-so, the one who's done that, the guy who does the triple drive-by in North St. Louis or whatever, you know, he's worse than me. But we know from the scriptures that, you know, if only Jesus wouldn't talk, you know, he gets in there and he says, you know, you've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I tell you that if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. It's like, ouch, ouch. That strikes, because...
Also in words, too.
If you, oh, yeah.
You're empty-headed, a raka, or
a fool.
You're a fool.
Yeah, you know, you get into
danger
that,
of hellfire.
And all of a sudden now you realize, and in a way that only our Lord does through his word, he starts to peel off the layers, and we get deeper into the middle, and we realize how guilty we are of this, even fine, upstanding, you know, men of the cloth, you know, ordained men. We are guilty of murder as well.
So, Pastor Baisley, are you a murderer?
Oh, yes, just angry without a cause.
Yeah, that's the other one.
It just springs out of our hearts. Someone cuts us off in traffic, even, and there's a word or a thought that comes out, and we wish it wouldn't.
Is it thought, word, and deed, Joel?
Thought, word, and deed, and it springs out so easily.
So I guess what I'm wondering is, someone's going to say, come on, there's a difference between a guy who takes a machete and kills his family and me having angry thoughts or hateful thoughts against my neighbor. How do you sort that out, Pastor Baisley? There's only 1 minute before our break.
Sure. Well, there's a difference between what my hand is doing, but there's no difference between what those two hearts are doing. They're both lashing out. The heart that was made to reflect God's love to all is lashing off with something much less than that, and that's the fallenness of our nature.
When we come back from this break, it seems as though murder has been kind of the footprint of human existence since the fall, the very first big sin after the fall itself that is recorded for us specifically is murder. One brother killing another. And the pronouncement that God speaks personally to Cain after he kills his brother Abel is pretty harsh. In fact, Cain pleads with God for some kind of a way out of this. He says, I'm going to wander the earth, and when I wander the earth, someone's going to come across me, and they're going to kill me because I'm a murderer. Now, we're here to respond to your questions and your comments on the commandment, you shall not kill. And we do want to hear from you, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us right here in this studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. It's our pastor's roundtable, our subject, You Shall Not Kill.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Christine Stocker, David Lambert, Don Reuter, Laura Dockery, Scott Ellers, Jeff Anderson, Carl Beckwith, Julie Beckwith, Mark Kisro, and John Christensen. Thanks for your support.
Have you been hungering for a richer life of prayer and meditation on God's Word? Well, Concordia Publishing House is pleased to bring you Treasury of Daily Prayer. It's coming in October. To experience Treasury of Daily Prayer, click the book cover on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can order an advance copy of Treasury of Daily Prayer by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Thanks to the Hyde Amendment, the U.S. hasn't been using your tax dollars to fund abortion, except for assault, rape, incest, or life of the mother. I don't like all those exceptions, but it saved hundreds of thousands of babies. Recently, the number of abortions funded in Illinois under the Hyde Amendment has risen dramatically. They went from 20 to nearly 400. We need answers and accountability. Is this state ignoring the law? The only way to find out is to have Michael Levitt, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, investigate. This means you and I must apply pressure for him to do so. Please email Secretary Levitt now by visiting today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. This simple task will help save hundreds of babies.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Well, while we were talking a few minutes ago, looking through the window here, Pastor Brian Holly of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois, stopped by, dropping off a check on behalf of his congregation there, joining the Issues Etc. 300. That's 300 congregations, and that's one more toward the 300 congregations that have decided to support the gospel outreach of Issues Etc. on the radio and on the internet worldwide by joining the Issues Etc. 300. 300 congregations that have pledged $1,000 or more in their budget, wherever they want to fit it into their budget, to support Issues Etc. To find out more about how your congregation can join the Issues Etc. 300, go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click sponsors. You'll find a flyer there that you can print off and explains everything you and your congregation need to know about the Issues Etc. 300. It's our pastor's roundtable. We're talking about You Shall Not Kill, that commandment that if people are asked to name the Ten Commandments, this is the one that they can name. They can't name any of the others, but this is the one they can name. And most people, including Christians, would tell you they haven't broken this commandment. And yet Jesus says, based upon what we've been saying so far, yes, you have. You are a murderer. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. Gary in New Jersey writes this, just a comment, murder never occurs in a vacuum, but it occurs in the breaking of other commandments, such as adultery, theft, and coveting. Your thoughts there, Pastor Boyce Clare.
That's exactly what the Bible says in the case of Jezebel and Ahab and Naboth.
And David and
Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm. Uriah.
And in that case, he committed adultery, and in a sense, because he couldn't cover up his sin, he had in war he had Uriah killed by the hand of the Ammonites, as we find out in 2
You know, it's really you bring that point. That what a great email. You know, that you deal with that Joel hit on it earlier. This is a heart thing. That covetousness that nobody sees. You know, that's only within me, then opens up, you know, and festers and then explodes in the rage that will cause an individual to do something unthinkable, as to take a life, even as much as they can try and justify it. You know, the guy comes home and comes home early from work and finds his wife with his next door neighbor, and in just this rage, he snaps and takes them both out. You know, and we just, you know, and there's ways we can try and justify that.
That's a good foil too, if you're moving on to Cain and the first murder. That didn't happen in a vacuum either, but it was a provoked and a process with Cain, who was a young man who thought much of himself and had pride and wasn't able to confess his need for a sacrifice or a sin, and therefore his sacrifice was unacceptable to God. And just the fact that his little brother was in good stead with the Lord was enough to tick him off enough to murder him.
But doesn't God warn him in that account? But
yeah.
Even before he's committed the murder, he says, evil is crouching at your threshold or something like that?
It's crouching at your door, and the image is like a little pet cat that's outside waiting to be fed. And what he's telling him is, you don't think that your sin is any big deal, but it'll turn into a lion and consume you. And this is very important. You were talking about the heart and the hand. There is a difference. I mean, we make a distinction between sin of thought, word, and deed. And I always describe that as sort of gateways. You know, sin starts in your heart, but it may not go any further, and it's good if it doesn't. If you entertain it in your heart, then it spills over into your speech. And if you talk about it enough, then you do something about it. And so that's what Cain is being warned of by God, or Adam. Get it under control. Recognize it. Confess it. Realize you need a sacrifice for that sin.
Pastor Metter, if I'm a murderer and you're a murderer and David is a murderer and Joel is a murderer and everyone listening to us, at least in our hearts, mm-hmm. which is in God's eyes the same thing as with
right.
our hands, murderers. And Jesus says, no murderer shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Then we're all doomed, aren't we?
Well, under the law of ourselves, yes. You know, I wish we could say that we could write it off and, you know, find some way to, you know, charge it to somebody else. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we can. Wouldn't it be great? You know, and we're not, and it's not Joe the plumber. It's Jesus the Christ.
Yeah. I love in the Old Testament, you know, I think we're sort of like, you know, there's a law in the Old Testament for those who unintentionally murder.
Right.
They get sent to the city of refuge. And then the avenger can't kill them there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know when they're released? When the high priest dies.
That's right. That's right.
So make the connection for us, Joel.
Sure. In the Old Testament, again, people were intentionally murdered. You know, an axe head falls off or something, and someone gets slain, and they could go to one of these special cities of refuge. And then when the high priest that was in office then died, they were free, and they could go back to their lives. And Jesus is our high priest. You know, I think we might be able to say, you know, the sin in my heart struck out, and I didn't mean to, but I killed him. But the high priest is Jesus, and he's the one that bore our sin on the cross. And because he died, we can live free.
I guess that raises a question about Jesus' sacrifice. Because Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. In other words, they're not going to murder me. I lay down my life of my own accord. Why is that so important for us to understand, Pastor Metter, that Jesus isn't the victim of circumstance or even the victim of murder, but in fact, a willing sacrifice?
Well, and I think the Old Testament parallel we had with that high priest, you know, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God has this whole Old Testament paradigm where we have this shadow, this image of what eventually is going to happen, and it's this willingness of our Lord. This is not the action of sin. This is the action of God's grace, where the gospel is enfleshed in Christ, bears our sin, and then dies the death that we deserve. You know, no, I'll take this, you know, to borrow a line from my favorite book of all time. You know, I can almost imagine our Lord saying, it's a far, far better thing that I do, coming out of the end of Tale of Two Cities. He takes our place willingly. And that I just at times just can't even begin to fathom. And we do this quote unquote for a living. And I sit there and it leads me to the point where I shake my head and realize how bloody my hands are, my thoughts are, my heart is, and yet in spite of that, he's willing to step in and take the bullet for me. That speechless.
Pastor Boyce Clare, as we go to this break, it seems ironic. Most people would consider murder the worst sin you could commit. At least it seems to have the greatest consequences among us. And yet it is through death that we are actually redeemed and brought back to God by the death of his son, Jesus Christ. Does this mean that for even the guy sitting on death row who may have wantonly, willingly, premeditatedly killed his loved ones, that there's still a sacrifice that avails for him?
Yes, and that's kind of the beauty of the gospel. There is no sin that is too great for his redemption to not cover or not be to avail in that situation. And the wonderful thing is that then he calls us to give up our lives. You know, of course, that's the response that God, by his grace, brings about in us, that we are willing to give up our lives as he gave up his life. And even John says, as he gave up his life for us, so we should also give up our lives for the brethren.
And what we might also say in that is that when Jesus, the Son of God, enters into death, it's something else. Becomes absolutely something else.
Right. And this kind of even can take us, we can almost already go full circle when you start talking about the sanctity and value of life. When you see, you know, we know who we are and what our Lord is willing to pay for the guy on death row, the three of us in this room and the guy up in Dearborn, Michigan, and the people who are listening to this streaming on the internet, that's the price that's what life is worth. You know, that's the exorbitant price that your life is worth. You know, and that's something I think we lose sight of because we've cheapened life.
Pastor Nathan Metter is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois, part of our Pastor's Roundtable, live this Thursday, the 16th of October. Pastor Joel Baisley on the phone from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan, and from Faith in Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis, Pastor David Boyce Clare, also in studio. Still plenty of time for your email and for your phone calls. Our email address, talkback@issuesztc.org, and our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. When we come back from this break, Luther says that it's not only a violation when we harm our neighbor, but when we fail to rightly protect him. And I wonder if we can look into the life of Jesus, particularly his healing ministry, and see Jesus fulfilling this command on our behalf. We'll talk about that after this.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
LCMS Inc. canceled this. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Charles Bridgeland, Medina Gibson, Dave Mealstrip, Pastor Craig Niemeyer, Brian Buchanan, Laura Weiss, Jay Hertel, Robert Oglesby, Brenda Wolf, and Jay Ott. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the commandment, you shall not kill, with our pastor's roundtable. 10 more minutes, 1-877-623-MY-IE. It's Thursday, October the 16th, or talk back at issuesetc.org. If you go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org, and click promote, you're going to find something there very useful for you and your congregation. In fact, if you pick it up, it's just a little blurb about Issues Etc., all the things we've talked about this week, so that those who are sitting in church with you on Sunday can see it in the bulletin. They can go online, issuesetc.org, and they can listen to those shows on demand under the on-demand page of our website. Go to promote at our website, issuesetc.org. We update these bulletin inserts weekly. You can copy and paste it right into your church's bulletin, print it off, take it to your church secretary, or better yet, just email it to her, and she can put it right into the bulletin for you and your fellow parishioners this weekend. Luther says, Pastor Baisley, that we need to not only think in terms of how we are to actively refrain from harming, that is, do no harm, but he also says as important of that as that is to actively protect, and it is a sin to fail to protect our neighbors in his bodily need. Go deeper into that with us, if you would.
Well, again, if God is the author and giver of all life, then all life is sacred. So it should be respected enough that we would not take another life. But on the other hand, we should value it as the most precious gift that God has given to another person. And if they have this beautiful gift of God called life, it's not our job to ignore it, but to look at it as a great gift, and therefore, if there's anything that we can do to help them with that gift and to make it better, it's only right that as our Lord sacrificed all for us, that we would consider it an honor and a privilege to be able to sacrifice and make it better for someone else, as Christ has so profoundly done for us.
Does this have some connection, Pastor Metter, with Jesus' healing ministry?
Oh, sure. This is where we keep forgetting that the illness, aging, the gray hair, the blood pressure medicine I'm on, this is all a sign that there is, that we still are awash in this kind of death thing, and you see Jesus dealing with that in a preparatory way with the way he's going to ultimately eliminate death. Okay, and he does this in this healing ministry. He has compassion on these people. He sees them. You get the paraplegic on the mat where they dig the hole in the roof. You're glad you're not the landlord there, and they lower it down. And he goes, "Wow, what faith!" And he forgives his sins, but then he deals with the short term problem too. Take up your mat and walk, and does it to fly in the face of the religious leaders. But you're right, he's a full service. He's a full service God when it comes to life. Not only so often I think we spiritualize everything. And we do this with the Lord's Supper. Well, the Lord's Supper, well, it takes care of my temporal or my takes care of my eternal problems, but I'm left to deal with this gout or this hangnail. But no, they're in a real way. The body and blood of Christ heals us. There is a healing factor when Christ is present. Because when he's around, death doesn't have a chance. And that's why I really like what the Lutheran Service Book has done with the dismissal, talking about how this eating and drinking is for the body and the soul. And, it's not just a spiritualistic ethereal thing, but it's a real concrete dealing with that which is going on in our lives.
Pastor, basically the ancients had no problem with this, thinking about the Lord's Supper as healing for both soul and body, did they?
Well, no, because the body that we live in here is the eternal body. So there's no that's what the one we're going to have forever. So there can be no distinction. I mean, death separates it for a while, but we shouldn't distinguish between our soul and body. They will be ours to praise God in forever. They are the temple that the Lord will dwell in forever. So certainly our body must benefit. I believe one of the ancient church fathers called it the medicine unto immortality.
Ignatius, he called it, it's the word in Greek is antidote, the antidote of immortality. And of course, immortality was the divine nature that they in like in the Eastern Church that they were interested in. But not saying that's what we believe. But the body, and Luther, of course, in his large catechism says that the body benefits when the soul benefits.
Right.
I guess I like the way you put it, Pastor Matter, and that is, if Christ dwells within me, not just this little ghost Christ, but body and blood put in me every week by his word with this bread and wine, then there's certainly no promise that I'll never get sick. But I sometimes wonder, how sick could I be if I were not being fed with the medicine of immortality and Christ were not healing me on a daily basis?
Right. And it is, it's not just, it's a now. It's a now and a not yet thing. We talk about the foretaste. The foretaste of the feast, it's the foretaste of the healing. It's happening now. This is a real thing. And when people begin to grasp that, and I have some folks up at Staunton that are really starting to wrap their mind around that a little bit, it's amazing to see, when cancer doesn't win. Cancer can't win. And this is God in a way when we're serving the body and blood of the Lord, we're taking care of their life. And what a great treasure we have to do that.
I think
and this is the strengthening in the faith that when God brings adversity into our life, it is given to us from the hand of a loving God for our good. And faith reinterprets everything that the flesh hates becomes lovable and a gift to the flesh. Now that's a healing from the inside out.
I like what Pastor Metter said about when Christ is there, death doesn't have a chance. In Christ, we see just a really three-dimensional picture of what we will be like in eternity. And as St. Paul says our lowly bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body by the power with which he's able to subdue all things unto himself.
Okay, final round here, gentlemen. Pastor Baisley, this is my real problem in terms of conscience. I mean, I have a conscience problem when it comes to my hatred for my neighbor and whatnot. But when I consider the great bodily need that surrounds me, even in an affluent society that we live in, I am racked with guilt that I do not, on a daily basis, do more to protect and help my neighbor in his bodily needs. It is an overwhelming burden, I think, if anyone considers it rightly, of my breaking of this commandment, you shall not kill. What is the comfort for me? 1 minute.
The comfort is there will be no end to sin so long as we have a sinful nature and selfishness that we struggle against in the good grace of God. When we confess our sins unto God our Father, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our transgression, and that is our one and final last word of hope in Christ, so long as we are sinners.
Pastor Metter, your final thoughts here with about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, the idea, He gets the final word in life and death. Our Lord does. The poor, we're always going to have those. He promised that. You know, gee, thanks. But, you know, it's ultimately been dealt with. And the way we do what God gives us to do, we can't do it all, but we respond to where in the places where He's put us, whether it's in Staunton or in St. Louis or in Dearborn, we respond even though we know it's halting and we have our own limitations. But we are able then to take where we failed, where we fall daily, to the cross, and that deals with it.
And Pastor Boyce Clare, your final thoughts of comfort there in the face of the commandment, you shall not kill, about 20 seconds.
As we believe that the Christian faith is the life and salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, that ultimately God is on the side of life, and then that's the fulfillment of the commandment when we are Christians, because this is the true life, as Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that is that of course empowers us to do no harm to anyone, and also to try to do what's best, of course, by His grace, but trusting in His forgiveness when we sin against this commandment.
Pastor David Boyce Clare is pastor of faith in Bethesda Lutheran Churches in St. Louis. Thanks for coming over and being our guest on the roundtable.
It's been a great pleasure.
Pastor Nathan Metter, also here in the studio, pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Staunton, Illinois. Nathan, thanks for coming
out. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Pastor Joel Basley, a good friend up there in Emmanuel Lutheran Church at Dearborn, Michigan. Give our best to Pastor Zwanitzer and the congregation there in Dearborn.
We certainly will, and thank you so much for the invitation.
We have a Savior who is deeply concerned about life. After all, He kind of made it up. He invented the thing. It is from Him that our life proceeds. In Him we live and move and have our being, says St. Paul. And this is quite true. There is no life apart from God. And so God has a stake in life, in its protection, in its sanctity, in its dignity. And in order to redeem to Himself again all life, you and me included, He was willing to give the life of His own Son, Jesus Christ. He did, and He, through His resurrection, will give us new life. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. Next, calling Carol Campbell right after this break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.